Paige used to talk about fate. She believed in that shit. Everything happens for a reason, she'd say. Of course, she didn't say anything now. Except to me. Don't get me wrong, I knew it wasn't her. But when I talked to myself, the voice in my head that answered was hers. Sipping my drink, I stared out the window of the plane into the pitch-dark Texas sky. This is where I felt closest to Paige, in that space between heaven and earth. When you were careening through the air at 500 miles per hour, defying the laws of nature, anything seemed possible. Even a conversation with your dead best friend. I signed an all-girl act today, I murmured into my next sip of vodka and cranberry. Light bells of laughter that I'd know anywhere echoed in my head, and then that voice. Not as good as we were. Paige's memory always brought up the Austin Dolls, the all-girl group that Tori, Paige, and I formed before damaged. I snagged a couple of pretzels from the foil packet on the tray table. They don't have to be good. They just have to be passable. Like me. While Tori and Paige were born with music in their blood, I had to work for every note. And hard work only got you so far when you were standing shoulder to shoulder with two powerhouse talents. So I'd stepped aside. It had saved everyone the awkwardness of asking me to leave. Tori had already hooked up with Ren, and the music they were working on, well, it was magic. Paige was the only one who protested the demise of the Dolls. She would have been content to play the dive bars on 6th Street with Tori and me forever. Forever, as it turned out, only lasted 24 years. And if I had known how it was going to end, maybe I wouldn't have slipped into the background. At least Paige and Ren would still be alive. Quit thinking like that, I chided myself. And in that moment, I had to wonder if that was the reason the voice in my head sounded like Paige. To assuage my guilt. Because if Paige forgave me, then maybe I could forgive myself. The fasten seatbelt sign illuminated, and the captain came over the intercom to announce our descent into Austin. I tossed back the last of my drink, and the voice was quiet for the rest of the flight. My phone vibrated as the Google alerts continued to pour in. A secret wedding for Beckett and Maddie? Beckett parties in Vegas with supermodel, but where's Taryn? Beckett leaves Taryn high and dry as settlement in damaged case looms. Taryn? Dazed, I looked up and found Ethan, my driver, eyeing me in the rearview mirror. Huh? Concern creased his brow. We're here. Did you need me to take your bag upstairs? Glancing around, I realized that we were, indeed, parked in front of Bluebonnet Towers. I'd lost a good 30 minutes scrolling through the avalanche of stories that hit my phone before we left the airport. No, I shook my head. I got it, thanks. As I moved for the door, Ethan twisted in his seat. Listen, Taryn, I'm sure there's nothing to any of those stories. Ethan could barely look at me as he forced out the lie. He knew Beckett, what he'd become since the accident. Schooling my features into a practiced smile, I pushed open the door. No worries, we're not together. Haven't been for a long time. It was the truth. I broke up with Beckett 7 months ago after he moved to Los Angeles to record the latest Leveraged album and hooked up with Maddie Silva. The funny part? Except for the sex, nothing much had changed. I was still his manager. Still the person he trusted most in the world. Bex claimed Maddie was just a friend, but the photos of them in Vegas more or less blew that lie out of the water. Waiting on the curb for Ethan to fish my suitcase out of the trunk, I scrolled through my messages, zeroing in on the one from Beckett. Expecting one of his long-winded excuses, I stared at the two words in the little box. I'm sorry.